Welcome everyone to another episode of the Split Screen Podcast, the official podcast of BlankPageBeatdown.com. My name is Shah Shahid, and this is the podcast where we usually compare film remakes with their source material. On this episode, we're going to take a look at all the most exciting Bollywood movie releases coming up in 2018 March. We're going to be talking about the trailers and the release dates and just kind of breaking down what to expect from the upcoming month of March. And with me today, to do that once more, we have our senior trailer correspondent, Ms. Shruti Janardhanan. How's it going, Shruti?
It's going well, Shah. It's just stupid cold going around, so I've been hit a second time, so I apologize for the sound quality. It's not my usual voice.
If it's not like a raspy whisper, which is what I went through in the beginning of 2018, you're fine. Like, if I can understand, your voice has some bass, and you don't sound like some sort of demon king from the underworld trying to, you know, seduce you over the dark side, you're fine.
You know, I was actually watching something on TV last night. I think it was like Star Voice, Little Champs or something, and there's this kid, this little girl who made some noise, and it's like, oh my god, you channeled your inner Raza Murad. I couldn't stop laughing.
Oh my god.
For a good 5 minutes.
Nice.
So I think that's going to be my favorite line to use over the next few months.
Alright, so well, now, this show was originally planned as obviously this trailer talk of the Bollywood movies coming up next month. We're recording this episode on Sunday, February the 25th. And unfortunately, our day and night last night on the 24th was not the greatest because of something that just happened. I don't personally feel like we're informed enough or educated enough to kind of discuss this with, you know, as a value-added sort of relaying the conversation in this way. But I also feel like it would be remiss not to give sort of our tributes and just kind of share our feelings about what happened, because at this point, again, like I said, it's very fresh and it's hard not to feel. My night was kind of emotional. I know, Shruti, you kind of had a similar, you know, vibe in your house.
Yeah, there was it was a very upsetting day and night of sorts, and I'd say we're still in a state of shock and denial. I'm in a state of shock and denial still for some reason.
I mean, and not to beat around the bush, but basically as we're recording this, I think maybe approximately 24 hours ago, news did break that Bollywood legend, actress and producer, Sri Amma Yangar Ayyappan, more commonly known as the iconic Sri Devi, passed away on February 24, 2018 due to a cardiac arrest while in Dubai for a relative's wedding. Sri Devi is an actress that I personally grew up watching. I know my generation personally grew up watching. She is one of the more graceful, comedically talented actresses of her time. Talented as hell. I mean, she's acted in movies in not just the Hindi industry or the Bollywood industry, but as well as starting from her debut all the way until most recently, she started movies from the Hindi industry, Tamil, Telugu, Malayalam, and Kannada industries. She's known in Bollywood for movies such as Sadma, Nagina, Lamhe, Mr. India, Chalbaz, more recently English of English, Last Year's Mom, and there's so many more that I'm leaving out for time's sake. She was nominated for many awards throughout her distinctful career. Most notably, she was nominated for 8 Filmfare Awards, 6 of those she won, and almost every single one has been in the Best Actress category, including a nomination for her last year's movie, Mom. She's also been nominated for Best Actress. She returned to films in 2012 after 15 years. Personally, to me, it didn't even feel like she missed a beat at all during her absence. The movie that she returned with was the critically and commercially acclaimed English of English, which I rewatched yesterday with not the best results for myself. In 2013, Sri Devi was also awarded the Padma Shri, which is the 4th highest civilian award to be awarded to a civilian from the Indian government. Sri Devi is survived by her husband and Bollywood producer Bani Kapoor, and as well as 2 daughters, Janvi and Khushi Kapoor. Yeah, so that happened, and I know, Shruti, you were telling me last night too, and even I remember when you're the first person that told me last night around 5 p.m. Eastern time for me, and And I was like, oh no, this is just one of those things. This is just shoddy Bollywood report media reporting, as I always complain about. She probably just got sick or something. Maybe she's in the hospital. And, you know, this is the leap that people led to. So I Googled it. I read the news, but I was still kind of waiting, you know, for either confirmation or debunking of this as something that it's not supposed to be. It wasn't until, I don't think, and this is when I started tweeting, I don't think it was until maybe 10, 11 o'clock at night after everything settled down and I sat down with my phone and wanted to watch Mr. India that it started hitting me. And yeah, I mean, I didn't realize how significant she was as an actress in my life until that moment. Take us through your day, Shruti.
Well, so I was messaging a family friend on Facebook because I hadn't heard from them in a while. And the response I got from them was, true Sridevi. So I was like, what part of me reminds you of Sridevi? So in jest, I said, Hava Hawaii, Bijli Girane Mein Hawaii. And then the family friend went on to say, she passed away. I'm like, what? Who has a conversation like this? I'm like, why wouldn't you tell me that first before I said something along those lines? And then I dismissed it initially going, there's no way that's true. But then when I checked on Google, there are a few, like on Google News, there are a few news outlets in India that I trust in terms of their reporting. And I couldn't believe it. And the first thing I did was I ran upstairs and I was like, Mom, did you know? And the last time I actually felt this way in the state of denial and shock was when Michael Jackson passed away.
Mm.
So that was the last time I had this sort of, no, wait, that's not possible. Mm. And even Michael Jackson passed away at a very young age of 50. Different circumstances, different locations and everything. But still, it's unbelievable when, you know, something that was so critical to your childhood and to your growing pains, you know, it just suddenly comes to an end and you don't realize the impact or importance or the role they've played in your life until that point where all you can think of, where all your references just come rushing to the surface and you're just like, oh my God, I didn't even realize how often, you know, I quote, use, refer to this on a day-to-day basis. So the first thing, actually, when I read the news report, the first thing I thought of wasn't a movie, wasn't a song, it wasn't anything, it wasn't lyrics. It was actually an episode from Satyamev Jayate where Amar Khan talks about sexual abuse in children. And one of the victims was talking about how one of the ways he coped with his abuse was by watching Sridevi movies. And he said how she was his superhero. Like, he'd watch her in Noggin, and he'd watch her in Chalbaz, and, you know, her roles in those movies was what pulled him through. And then Amar Khan surprised him by bringing Sridevi out to meet him personally. So that was the first thing that popped into my head, and she was so sweet about it. This boy was just... There's this entire, I mean, if you can see the episode, just that moment, it's very, very sweet and touching. And it just has like a whole, I guess now it just adds a whole other layer to the person that Sridevi was. I mean, I was in a state of shock and denial. I still am. I won't deny it. But that I could think of. And then later on, we were trying to play Hava Hawaii on YouTube. Mr. India was something that I think I may have watched more than 50 times. There's a good chance that it's a little more than that. So Hava Hawaii is always a song that stuck with me. But I was telling my mom yesterday that one of the movies that comes to my mind more often is Kudagawa.
Mm.
More than anything else. Kudagawa, I think it's the music and just her role and everything in it. But yeah, so we were watching Hava Hawaii, and then when we switched to watching TV on one of the channels, they were playing Mr. India.
Nice.
So I think I managed to survive for about an hour, but even then the reality hadn't sunk in, because all I could hear was my mom saying, oh, this is so unfortunate, you know, it's so sad. And I was like, shh, right. Don't.
Yeah.
We're watching this movie. Keep quiet, everybody. So I think it's just something that's going to take some time to set in. Before you know, it becomes a reality of sorts. And I did get some news on, like, her last film appearance, like, her last movie appearance. It's a cameo, apparently, in Shah Rukh Khan's next movie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, later this year.
Oh, that's gonna sting.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Especially when they have the credits rolling.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, I think it's I can't say it's definitely hit me. I'm at the point where talking about her or even watching her on screen will definitely elicit sort of a strong emotional reaction. I spent the night watching. So at first we wanted to watch Mr. India. I have the DVDs for English Princess and Mr. India, as well as Lamhe, which are my wife's favorite. So we rewatch that every now and then. And I didn't want to watch Lamhe because Lamhe, you know, something happens to her character which is way too close to home. So I'm like, I don't want to watch Lamhe because I'm gonna lose it. And I wanted to watch Mr. India.
Mm-hmm.
But there is also a part in Mr. India with, you know, a kid. Spoilers, but whatever, you should watch it by now. Yeah. So, and my wife's like, I hate that part, I'm gonna lose my crap even more, I'm gonna relate what happened to that scene, and I'm just gonna lose it. So we're like, okay, fine, forget it. We kind of compromised with English for English. Mm. And, which I realized, like, 20 minutes into it, I'm like, well, such a worse idea, because the other two movies, at least, isn't all Shri Devi-centric. So you get a bit of break from the humor and stuff, whereas English for English is all Shri Devi on screen the entire time.
Yeah.
And even when she's just being her gorgeous self, and anytime, you know, the character gets sad, I just well up and I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this right now. And it was just, and or even when she's happy, you know, you're watching her dance and stuff and you're like, oh my God, I can't do this right now. So, I mean, and it's weird too, because I spent the first couple of hours trying to figure out, because this isn't uncommon. Like, celebrity deaths aren't, I mean, it's sad to say, but it happens so often that you would think this would just be sort of another story. So I'm like, I don't understand why I'm so wrecked. Like, I don't know why I'm so affected by this. Like, because especially doing what I do, like, I write news stories. Someone dies, and I write a news story about it to cover, you know, the event for a website or whatever. So I'm like, I don't know why I'm being so emotionally impacted. And I kept trying to think about that for all night. And I kind of realized, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is the first time that, like, you know, people of our generation, like, you know, like 80s kids or you know, early 90s,
mm-hmm.
Have had to deal with a celebrity that they saw growing up, whose career coincided, the uptick in their career coincided with us being of that age when we were 5, 6, 7 years old and we were growing up watching their movies. I think this is the first time that an actress of her generation, of our generation, has passed away. Because again, I'm trying to go back and, you know, Rima Lagu or, you know, Farida Jalal or, you know, Shashi Kapoor, Vinod Khanna, like, these are guys, like, we all knew about, we all watched their movies, but I think it was more our parents that grew up with their movies and or they were supporting actors, and Farida Jalal was always the mom or, like, the supporting actress, and, you know, Rima Lagu was the mom, and, you know, so I don't think, I mean, as much as there was a connection there to those stars, I don't think a leading actor or actress that we grew up watching of their generation has passed away like this, at least not recently, to the point where I'm like,
I think Vinod Khanna would be a recent example, but even he had his peak.
I guess what I'm trying to say is I never grew up and looked at Vinod Khanna and thought that I want to be like that guy. Like, that guy's got swag, you know? Like, it was never, whereas Shri Devi was someone where, like, And again, none of this I have ever consciously thought about until last night. Like, it was never, I never had to relate the impact Shri Devi had on my life or even think about it until it all kind of came flooding in last night. And again, and not to the extent that, you know, the story that you shared about the Amir Khan, the guest on Amir Khan, nothing like that. But just like, she was that girl that was just like, you know, she was cute, she was great, her acting was crazy. And as I kind of dug further in, I realized that in terms of comedy, like, I don't think, I'm trying to think about actresses even today who have the sort of comedy talent or the comic stylings of Shri Devi, And they're funny. There's funny actresses mm-hmm. today, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
You know, it's strange that you bring that up, because in my head, I was going through my Rolodex of actors and actresses, and I think the closest actress in this generation, per se, who could come close to the dramatic nature of Sri Devi's acting, and maybe even the timing, the comic timing, is Vidya Balan. That's about the closest I can think of. But yeah, I mean, speaking of Sri Devi, the other reason why, you know, she's one of those actresses who stood out to me, like, she's a superhero. She's one of my many superheroes. It's because when I was younger in school, so when I was in Indian school, there's always this issue between North India and South India.
Okay.
So at that point, there was the general construct that all South Indians are Madrasis, and Madrasis aren't good at English and they aren't good at Hindi. And then lo and behold, you had quite a few South Indian actresses. You know, you had Rekha, Hema Malini, mm-hmm. Even Jaya Bhadri, but the actresses that actually, sorry, not Jaya Bhadri, I think it's Jaya Prada. Sorry, I missed it.
Right, yes.
But the actresses at that time, there was Meenakshi Seshadri and Sri Devi.
That's right.
And I think Sri Devi just sort of dominated more than Rekha or Hema Malini. No disrespect to them, but she dominated not just Hindi cinema. I think she was like the embodiment of Indian cinema, if you will.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, at that point, you never had a lot of South Indian actresses being in big budget Hindi movies. And then you had people like Meenakshi and Sri Devi who were just
killing it.
Dazzling. Yeah. Just in your face and saying, hey, it doesn't matter where you're from. If you've got the talent, you can rock any stage. So, you know, it was twice the inspiration. So which also motivated me to improve my Hindi skills in school. So a lot of my Hindi education came from music and movies and TV. So if parents tell you don't watch TV, then sometimes don't listen to them, because it's not always true.
I'll watch all the Sri Devi movies I can. Leave me alone, Mom.
Yeah, in fact, your mom might actually join you if you say that. So, and you know, there's a certain poise, certain charisma, and style with all of her roles. So for me, it was more of a cultural, there was a little bit of a cultural aspect to my love and fondness for Sri Devi, because she was just so, you know, she had that appeal that nobody could deny or say, just because she's a Madrasi, you know, nobody should watch her movie. So,
I mean,
you know, so it was more of a, hey, you know, she's really good. And I think if you watch her movies now, her expressions are just on point with, like, every line and every dance move. And I think that, you know, she was a classically trained Bharatanatyam dancer. So when you see the expressions, you can see that transition of expressions from her dance you know, from her dance career into, like, her acting. I think she was just the perfect amalgamation of
everything.
Poise, grace, charm, talent, skill, and hard work. There's just nothing else to add to that.
There's, social media is, you know, the tributes are everywhere from celebrities and everyday people like us on social media, but there's also a lot of stories. I think Rajiv Musan recently shared a story about the fact that he wanted her to come on to the Actors Roundtable, and she wouldn't, and you know, she wasn't comfortable giving interviews, and then she didn't want to. She wanted to let her work do the talking, and then you correspond those reports with others sharing their stories of Sri Devi, talking about the fact that even on film sets she was shy, she was quiet, she wouldn't really. Sort of wasn't a extroverted personality, but as soon as that camera switched on, she would completely just become the character that she's playing. And if that, and if you look at a lot of her movies, she does play like these sort of bubbly, extroverted, really fun, perky personalities. Again, like Lamhe, for example, is what I always. And again, I think Lamhe, Chandani, Lamhe, Mr. India,
Chalmas.
Chalbaz. So the funniest part, the song from Chalbaz is the one that I remember. For whatever reason in my life, that is, maybe it was a picturization of the rain and the clear raincoats and umbrella. Yeah. Whatever, I don't know what it was, but that is a song that I can just hum along or sing along to. I know all the words. Again, for whatever reason, this wasn't one of the most impactful or blockbuster songs of you know, Indian cinema history. It was nothing like that. But for whatever reason, this song sticks in my head like no other. And I didn't even know what movie it was and blah, 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 blah. I just remember that song, whatever that song was. And I don't think there's any other song that I can remember like that and not figure out why. Like, I don't know why this song has an impact on me. It just does for whatever reason. And I also, me personally, just going back to the comedy thing, I appreciate it when stars can be self-deprecating.
Mm-hmm.
And Sridevi, her humor was very self-deprecating. Like, her comedic styling was so, like, silly expressions and making fun of herself or putting herself down, you know, being obnoxious, being annoying, but from a very cute sort of perspective. And like, I think the reason that I started liking Alia Bhatt was because of that AIB video she did, Genius of the Year, where she spent 7 minutes making fun of herself. And I think I appreciate, especially in that day of the 80s and the 70s, where, you know, humor was more about making fun of others, right? And the self-deprecating people were the ones that were the comic relief, right? You never had, an actress who was more concerned with her looks and her beauty and her grace and how she came across on screen. You never saw them put themselves in a position to be made fun of. Whereas, you know, she puts on a Charlie Chaplin outfit with the grease mustache and does a whole Charlie Chaplin bit. And is that just like... And the sad part now is I'm going to see that stuff for now. I'm going to start crying. Like, I'm talking about it right now. And it's like, it's really hard to like even discuss. So,
yeah, to even visualize it. It's hard.
So, you know, for our condolences to her family. I think it also, like, I was just talking to my wife yesterday too. And I'm like, it hits you a lot more when you realize that her immediate family is everyone, are a bunch of other people that we've also seen on screen. And you kind of imagine their reactions to this. And you get even more hurt because you're like, oh my God, so-and-so is probably devastated. And so-and-so is probably... I know, like, a lot of people think it's silly to get this emotional and upset about, you know, a celebrity that you never knew, things like that. But honestly, it's I think people really underestimate the impact that TV and movies have, right? Like, you literally let someone in your house, you know, repeatedly, you know, and you go to them when you feel like crap, before you even have friends, before you even understand yourself enough to know what comforts me, what makes me feel better, before you have those realizations, you do that with movies. My kids at 2, 3, 4, 5, like, you know, my youngest is 5, from 2 years old, she would want to watch a movie over and over again because it made her feel a certain way. She didn't know that. She didn't understand that. She didn't say, hey, I've had a bad day, you know, my tummy's been all up. You know, I want to watch, you know, Tangled. Like, she doesn't have that self-awareness at 2 years old. But you understand that hey, I want to watch something familiar, something that comforts me. You know, and in the case of this, it's actors and it's actresses and someone, you know, who can make you smile. Like again, like yesterday, I'm in tears, but I'm smiling at the parts where Sridevi's on screen and she's dancing. And again, in my case, I don't have stories. I can't tell you about how much Sridevi affected me when I was a kid. Because I didn't realize any of that until yesterday. It wasn't until I'm looking at this person and these memories are flooding back to me. Movies are flooding back to me. Her roles and scenes are coming into my head. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I had no idea that this was something that
you know, that had that much of an impact then. Yeah, and I think also when you rewatch those movies years later, the impact, it's not the same, but it's something familiar. It's like an old friend coming to visit and have a cup of tea with you, sort of kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, my sincerest condolences to the family as well. But, you know, through all of this, I feel really terrible for her young daughters.
Yeah.
Because they've lost their mom at a very young age. Yeah. So,
and especially, and it's also kind of, you know, it's also sad because, you know, they grew up, like, Janhvi Kapoor and Khushi Kapoor kind of grew, and this is, we're getting into, like, gossip territory now, but yes. I just also kind of, like, from a sort of personal perspective, I find it sad, too, that, you know, they grew up with their mom, was this iconic actress that they've always heard about, seen about, and understood her legend and her legacy, and I think Janhvi Kapoor, I think in a month, in a couple of weeks, is making her Bollywood debut. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate her and that, you know, her mom's not, or I will not be around to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, I felt, I mean, not to bum out everybody that's listening, yeah, this was something that happened, I felt like, you know,
this was something that deeply affected us.
And I mean, I didn't feel right pretending like everything was okay and doing a show not talking about this. I mean, we are going to try to soldier on now and get to that very topic, but it just didn't feel right, you know, going, you know, spending a night crying about all this and then, you know,
not addressing
and hitting record and being like, hey, we'll pretend like none of that happened. I feel like that would have been like sort of a betrayal to her memory and to the impact she had on her. So that's why, you know, I felt like I'm sure over the next couple of weeks, we're going to see a lot more tributes, a lot more eloquent tributes than ours. And I'm looking forward to those as much as I can. Mm-hmm. Being emotionally able to handle it or not. Let's try to move on. Let's try to soldier on. And let's use, as I'm sure she did, and I'm sure other actors and performers and creative people do, let's try to put our, you know, this tragedy and our upset feelings, let's try to channel them into an outlet of talking about movies. Hopefully some of these movies will be so terrible that we can just kind of rage hate our upsetness onto them. I don't think we'll be disappointed. Tiger Shroff's in
classic displacement.
So, I think Tiger Shroff has a movie here, so I think we're good with that.
Ronald Mukherjee has one too, but
right, I'm talking about like negative. Like, if I wanted to like hate rage on someone, I feel like that's who I want to like, why Tiger, why?
That seems like the tone of his movie too.
It does, although again, yeah, we'll get there. But yeah, so we're gonna get right to it, you know. And like I said, this was supposed to be the show where we talk about movies, but we thought we should make you cry first for the first 10 minutes, and then get to this. But if we did, you did. So we're gonna be talking about the Bollywood movies coming up in March 2018. There's a lot of movies coming out in 2018 March. Some of them are really sort of B-list, C-list movies, which I didn't think anyone would care about. I didn't care about. The trailers are horrible. So we're gonna kind of cover the more mainstream ones, the ones that we think are worth checking out. Now, as I mentioned for February, I need everyone to note and understand that these release dates have been provided to us by IMDb.com and cross-referenced with Bollywood Hungama. They do vary based on region and country, so before you go to the theater and not get your movie and tweet me and yell at me about, oh, I gave you the wrong date, check your local listings. Also, because Bollywood decides to change release dates like 2 weeks before a movie releases, which is why you'll see that two of the first movies on our list were actually covered in our last show in February, because they were supposed to release in February. However, both the movies Three Stories and Dil Jungli have been actually pushed back to March the 9th. If you want to know about these movies, again, go back and take a look at that episode where we discuss those two movies particularly. And there's another movie that we did cover in February, which got pushed back to March. So we will get to talk about it again today. So let's kick off with our first movie that's coming out on March the 2nd, 2018. It's called Vire Ki Wedding. Vire Ki Wedding, starring Pulkit Samrat, Kriti Karbanda, and Jimmy Shergill. Written by Dilip Shukla, who is the screenwriter of movies like Jai Ho and both the Dabangs, including Dabang 3 that's coming up. And he did dialogues for movies like Andaz Apna Apna, Mohra, you know, and Damini. The movie's directed.
Damn.
Yeah. So, I mean, this guy has good dialogue writing pedigree, but I'm iffy about his screenwriting credits. Vire Ki Wedding is directed by Ashu Trikha, whose only notable mention is that movie Alag, which was with the bald electric guy, whatever.
I did watch that movie. I was very surprised.
I did watch that movie too, and it was weird. I just remember that one song. But anyway, so Shruti, Vire Ki Wedding. How was, you saw the trailer, what are your thoughts on this one?
So when I first watched the trailer, I actually confused this movie with another movie. I watched it and I was extremely disappointed because I looked and I said, where's Sonam Kapoor?
Yeah.
So to clear up the confusion here, there is another movie coming out in June of this year so far, titled Vire Di Wedding, not Ki Wedding. that's very female-centric. So I watched this trailer. I'm like, what happened to all the female-centric story? I don't understand. There's supposed to be four female, you know, the four female protagonists. What's going on? I watched this trailer. I was very unamused for most part because you have this punk kid, Pulkit it some art, who's trying to be like a professional.
Is it Pulkit or is it Pulkit? Like, is it? Because I always thought it was supposed to be like a PH, like Pulkit.
You know, this unless it's like a numerology thing and he took the H out of his name, I'm not really sure if it's Pulkit or Pulkit Samrat.
Pulkit just sounds weird. Pulkit.
Pulkit.
It's like I'm. It's like, anyway. It's like I'm talking to my robotic car. Pulkit.
2.0.
Open door. Knight Rider reference. flat. Screw you.
Yes. Sorry, guys. We're going to get back on track. So when I watched this trailer, I was like, all right, so Pulkit is a professional problem solver who apparently dances with fidget spinners in a nightclub, and that's a thing.
Yeah.
That really put me off. And so the general premise of it, it's so annoying because it's like boy meets girl, girl hates boy, girl's family hates boy, but boy is still adamant on getting girl, enter third family that the girl and girl's family likes, and then boy has a big brother who's kind of like a gunda mawali who beats people up and forces things. So yeah, that was my I was just
typical lighthearted Bollywood shenanigans from and that description.
The only thing that's in there is dancing in a nightclub with fidget spinners. Please, let's not forget.
Neon, multicolored, light up.
Glow in the dark. Spinners.
Oh, yes, I guess they glow in the dark, yeah. Yeah. I mean, so honestly speaking, like, when his character's introduced in the trailer, it does come off very Salman Khan, right? Mm-hmm. It does come off like, I solve people's problems. And it's like, what? That's not a job, bro. Like, that's again, that's something you won't expect from a Salman Khan movie. And again, when you realize the writer did Dabang and Jai-Ho, it kind of makes sense, right? I don't get what this movie's about. I mean, I'm sure there's... Like, yeah, the girl doesn't seem to like him at all. She's constantly yelling and screaming at him about the fact that this won't happen, you piece of crap.
And he's helping his family.
Yeah, and his and her their families are going at it. And Jimmy Shergill's there insulting her family. So I don't understand... the problem, like you all hate each other. You're right. It's like you all hate each other. So why do you keep like what's the issue? Like why do you keep fighting?
Making a movie about it?
Yeah, like why do you keep fighting? Like I don't understand. If you hate each other, okay. Hey, I hate you. Screw off. Okay, screw off. You go do your thing. You go do like what's the problem? Like I mean, and I'm sure I feel like first of all, this is a really bad trailer.
Yes.
And I feel like we also have to talk about the fact that. Trailers are not always indicative of the final product of the movie. Bollywood cannot cut its trailers properly. They either give away everything, or they don't give away enough, or they don't have any sense of story or sort of what this movie's supposed to be about. They just kind of go, here's all the nice scenes, we're going to put them together. And it's just like, that doesn't make any sense. There is an art to kind of trailer cutting, I think. I personally feel like there is art to telling a mini 2-minute story within this 2.5-hour story that you're going to see, kind of like a, you know, it is almost like a visual synopsis or visual about. And this trailer is horrible. And I do feel like there may be a point in the movie. I feel like the beginning of the movie is them two arguing. I do feel like there might be a point in the movie where they fall in love while the families are still arguing, and then they have to get their families to stop arguing so they can be together. I feel like that makes more sense. Otherwise, if everyone hates each other, what's the problem? Like, go away.
The only other amusing thing I found in the trailer was when the girl yanks the guy off the treadmill.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, he managed to maintain his balance. That's cool.
So, the things do look... the songs do look somewhat catchy if we could get more than, like, 5 seconds of them. I feel like the soundtrack would be kind of lighthearted and peppy out of context. I do like the actress. I last saw her in Shaadi Mein Aana Zaroor, which I thought was amazing. And I really liked her. She stood out. But in this movie, again, she just comes off as just another sort of no-name pretty girl that is just there to dance with the hero kind of a thing. I like Pulkit, but I don't know why the hell he keeps doing B-list crap like this. I used to love Jimmy Shergill. I don't know why he's transitioned into this Punjabi gunda bully sort of like stereotype in movies. Mm-hmm. Like, he's always cast in those roles for some reason these days. Like, his most recent was Mukkabaz, where he played the mm-hmm. villain. This looks exactly like that, but instead of kurtas, he's in shirts. He did a cameo last year in Shubh Mangal Savdhan as mm-hmm. himself, but again, he looked like this character, so I don't really understand what he's doing right now. I really wish he did something better. But yeah, I and going back to your first reaction, I remember when I saw this trailer on YouTube, I came across it accidentally maybe 2 months ago or a month ago. And I'm like, oh my god, the trailer for that movie's out, starring Sonam Kapoor and Kareena Kapoor and Swarnabha Bhaskar, and oh my god, that awesome movie that's been touted from last year, we've been getting teaser posters and stuff, the trailer for that's out, how did I not hear about this? I put this crap on, and it starts off with Pulkit, and I'm like, okay, maybe he's the guy in the movie, I don't know, like, possibly, maybe.
Like, four girls after one guy, right, maybe.
And it makes sense, four high-profile Bollywood actresses, so yeah. You get, like, you know, B-list buddy over here, right? I'm like, fine, maybe, and I'm watching, and the story, and halfway through the trailer, I'm like, this looks nothing like what I thought that movie was going to be. So as the trailer is still playing, I IMDb it, and I realize the only difference between the two titles is the ki and the di in the middle, which, to clear up for our non-Hindi-speaking audiences, and correct me if I'm wrong, Shruti, Veeray ki wedding, it's the same as, you know, it's Veeray's wedding. It is, the ki mm-hmm. is an apostrophe possessive of Veeray's wedding. Mm-hmm. But ki is the Hindi version, right?
Mm-hmm. Like,
Veeray ki wedding, so Veeray's wedding. And then Veeray di wedding is, di is the Punjabi version of
yeah.
ki.
So yeah.
It's the same possessive conjunction or whatever the, well, I don't know what an apostrophe S is. But it's the same
the grammar.
Thing. Right, the grammar. It's the same thing, but just one's in English, one's in Hindi, one's in Punjabi. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Basically.
That's tacky. And I can't help but I don't wanna accuse, but it really does feel like they're taking advantage of this larger, bigger budget, you know, more commercial Bollywood movie coming out in a couple of months. Let's capitalize on that by calling our movie something negligibly identical to mm-hmm. that. So people mistake it in watch hours instead?
And they go, yeah, you know, I guess they figured by doing that, you know, people go buy tickets.
It's weird.
You know, advance tickets and stuff.
It's
but
weird.
I,
it's very weird.
I sincerely hope people actually watch the trailer before they go. Nahi to joote padenge.
I hope so. I don't understand what the point of doing that is. Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird. And I hope this doesn't happen more often.
Yeah.
But going from a non-original, really sort of forgettable trailer. Fidget spinners. And talking about not knowing how to cut a trailer, our next movie is, again, the more I watch the trailers for this movie, the more I am dying to watch this movie. I'm talking about the movie entitled Pari. The subtitle, I think, is Not a Fairy Tale. It is a horror, supernatural horror thriller starring Anushka Sharma, Prarambrata Chatterjee, who is most notable for his role in Kahani with Vidya Balan, as well as Ritab Hari Chakravarti and Rajat Kapoor, who was the dad in Kapoor and Sons. The movie is written by Abhishek Banerjee, who, again, his screenwriting credits are nothing really massive, some short films and things like that. The director is Prosheet Roy, who was, this is the cool part, he was the assistant director on another horror movie, Bollywood horror movie, Ek Thi Dayan. And mm-hmm. he was associate director on Anushka Sharma's own home production, Filori. And he was also, you know, associate director on movies like Dilli 6, All Is Well. So he's a director that has been working in the industry for a while. He has kind of, you know, paid his due. And this is his first sort of feature-length directorial debut. Shruti, what is your reaction to Pari?
So, besides this being Anushka Sharma's production...
Mm-hmm.
And I think the girl has, not girl, the young lady has made some very impressive movies with her banner.
Yeah.
They have been distinctly different and engaging. That being said, this movie, it is spectacularly freaky, and I am terrified of horror movies, so I wouldn't watch it. If I did watch it, I'd be hiding under a lot of pillows and blankets. And have the audio playing.
Coming soon. Party movie review from Shruti Janardhan.
I actually enjoyed the promotional process of this movie.
Yes.
Because everything was released in the form of teasers where you're going, wait, what is going on? Yeah. I don't think the trailer also gave away too much, no. Except just adding that fear factor onto it and contributing to more theories and hypotheses as to what this could potentially be about. I love the cinematography. It looks quite spectacular, and even the visual effects look really cool. I think it's a very interesting genre for Anushka Sharma to dip her toes into, to dip her, well, not just her toes, she's like dipped her entire self into it. And she looks very convincing, being both the frightening buddy or creature or whatever it is that she's supposed to be, as well as, you know, being the masum or the innocent character.
The victim.
So, I mean, I'm not entirely sure what this is. I kind of get like a cult sort of feeling. Like there's some sort of cult going on or something. You know, the trailer actually, I think, pushed me to think more in that direction just because you see a lot more. And it's really cool. It's a very cool movie, and I am excited for it to come out, but I'm just terrified of going and watching
it.
Yes, I'm terrified of horror movies. I make it a point not to watch them. I have terrible PTSD from watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre with my brother.
I mean, I don't. So I'm in the same boat as you. I necessarily. The horror genre for me is one that I avoid. Not because I'm scared. I mean, relating to Hollywood, I find that the horror genre, and again, I'll probably get murdered by fans of the genre, but personally, my own experience, and again, I don't follow the horror genre, so I can't even come from a point of, I'm sure there's great horror movies, but I find more often than not, they're really sort of predictable sometimes, unless something innovative is done. Like, I was there for the Saw franchise, which I don't think is horror, I think it's more gore and sort of slasher-ish. I tried to do the first one. What was the found footage, like the camera thing, the
Paranormal Activity,
right? So I was there for that first one. I just find that after a while the genre gets, like, whatever innovation happens in the genre, I feel like they kind of beat it to death, you know, to the point where it just gets really tiring and really done and really formulaic. So it's not a genre that I enjoy at all. Having said that, the teasers, and I love the fact that you brought up the process of marketing. They call them screamers, the teasers for this movie, for Buddy. The teasers they released, they're all called screamers, which I thought was really cool. And this shit is scary. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm watching these trailers, and like I said, it also might be because I'm relating the context of horror to a Bollywood setting, which, again, hasn't happened as much, so I'm probably more impressed by that, to see Bollywood star, you know, in this sort of a story, and freaky, and doing crazy things, that I'm probably more impressed by that than anything else.
And usually Bollywood horror movies are laughable.
Slow. Uninteresting. Again, there was,
and makeup's like overdone.
There was sort of we had a sort of Bollywood horror renaissance back in I'm gonna get the year wrong, but I want to say around 2004, with the start of Ram Gopal Verma's Bhoot. That kickstarted a bunch of sort of
Bibasha Basu in like a couple of
she's
them?
Done a couple. The Bhats kind of cornered the market on that too. They had a lot of sort of these horror 1920 London and some other stuff. The Creature. I don't even know the names, because there's been so many of these sort of low budget sort of ghost slasher horror creature sort of movies. And again, from my understanding, they are enjoyable. I haven't seen any of them because I just don't bother. But from my understanding, I know a lot of people that have watched, they are enjoyable. They're kind of worthwhile watching. But I don't think we've had a Bollywood horror on this scale of like this massive, this commercial, this featuring an A-list Bollywood actress. I love that this is her home production. I love that she's kind of doing all these various genres, starting with NH10, Pilori, and now this.
If you remember, even the marketing for Pilori was very unique. It was, I distinctly remember her having these interviews with different stars, and one of them was a shoot in Shah Rukh Khan's house.
Oh, nice.
Where he's like talking to the camera, he's like, "Bab hoot hoot make kuch manta nahi," and then all you hear is Shashi Ji's voice in the background.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And I remember they had this campaign of Shashi was there, like hashtag Shashi was there.
Shashi was here. Or
and
something.
I remember one of them was during the Oscar screw up last year. And there was a picture that came out of Anushka Sharma's character photoshopped onto the Oscar stage, and the hashtag was Shashi was there. Yeah, you know what? You're right. Yeah, the marketing team for her production company is Clean Slate Films. Yeah, the marketing company is brilliant. You know, you mentioned it. Like, they're really doing some innovating stuff, and I'm down for party. I gotta say, Rajat Kapoor looks intense in this movie. And mm-hmm. And again, I'll put up all the links to the trailers that we watched in the show notes found on Audioboom, so everyone can take a look. But there's the most recent trailer has Rajat Kapoor in... we get a lot of Rajat Kapoor, and he looks to be the villain, I want to say?
I don't know. There's certain dialogues that change your mind about it too.
There's some cult moments of, and also there are the posters of this movie too, where there's this creature or this freaky looking old lady or something with a lot of makeup on there. We don't see her at all in the trailer. This hooded.
I think you get a glance.
Do you get a glance?
Quick glance. Yeah, it's like a quick thing. But yeah, so those of you who actually watch Bari and would like to spoil it for me, by all means, please do so. I'm very open to that.
Perfect. All right. And then the cool part also is that she is promoting from within. The director, again, proceeds her way. The film was shot all in, not all, I'm not sure how much of it, but it was shot in West Bengal, like parts of West Bengal, which is kind of why I think, like, you see, except for Anushka Sharma, a lot of the cast on camera and off camera are Bengalis. Which is awesome. Bengal power. And yeah, I mean, I liked I think this is my most awaited movie of this month. I think this is the one that I'm most looking forward to, just because it just seems so original. Like, even the horror elements in the trailer, I can't pick out any one visual and say, oh, that's like, you know, insert Hollywood horror movie name here, sort of a thing. So that's why I'm, and again, like I said, I don't watch enough horror movies. Maybe I'm missing something, but it looks really original to me, which I'm really looking forward to.
Sorry, it also reminds me of like back in the 90s, I think it was ZTV, the Ramsey brothers had that Mano Yana Mano. There were like a few episodes that were actually really creepy, and I did watch them. I actually have a favorite episode that comes to my mind every now and then. It's like a set of twins, but I digress. So there are certain elements that reminded me of that, of Mano Yana Mano, which was kind of cool. So, you know, just throw back.
Okay, so let's move on to something a lot less scary, unless you are a corrupt official. We're obviously talking about the sort of dramatic raid starring Ajay Devgan, Saurabh Shukla, and Ileana de Cruz. The movie's releasing March 16th. It's been written by Ritesh Shah, who's in the screenplay for movies like Pink and Madari. The director is Rajkumar Gupta, and here's the most exciting part. He is the director of movies like No One Killed Jessica and Amir, which was his debut, which is this really cool small movie. If you haven't seen it, take a look. It, again, deals with the sort of stock market, and it's really cool. Amir is like this kind of sort of kidnap thriller that kind of has business undertone. It's really awesome. Sure. Check that out. And then, again, his follow-up after that was No One Killed Jessica, which was so long ago, and it was so good. So I'm really excited that this guy's back. The story features a sort of income tax officer played by Ajay Devgan who's, you know, doing a raid on a corrupt official's house. And yeah, and it's apparently based on true stories, which is again, awesome. The director has experience with that. Shruti, what did you think about the raid trailer?
First of all, raid is not the bug spray. So, I mean, unless you take Ajay Devgan into consideration being the bug spray that is trying to stomp out Saurabh Shukla's
character. Symbolism!
For me, this trailer, it seemed like pretty standard political thriller drama fare when I watched it. And it sort of kind of matched the expectations of what I've come to expect, at least from Ajay Devgan's political-themed movies. It wasn't all that revolutionary for me, per se. It was just, you know, it's a screenplay of honesty and goodness and justice versus corruption and injustice, per se. I had to do the whole drama thing there. To be honest, like, there have been quite a few movies that have come out along the same tone. I just think the thing I did appreciate about the trailer were the dialogues, though. I think some of those lines will be whistle-worthy in theaters in India. I'm sure people will clap for at least a few of the dialogues.
I want to put that on the poster of this movie. I'm sure people will clap at some of the dialogues. Ray, 2018.
Coming to a theater. New to stop art corruption. Especially since they did that whole thing in India where they got rid of like the big bills and stuff. You know, I knew what the name was and now I don't remember anymore.
Commando 2? No. Demonetization. So you're talking
demonetization.
About.
Yeah, right, that's right. What.
Yeah, that was featured in the movie Commando 2. Like that was the plot of that movie.
Awesome. Now I know what Commando 2 is all about.
So I mean, I see where you're coming from. I do completely disagree. Awesome. I think this looks like a really interesting movie. And the only reason for that is, I gotta say, I like Ajay Devgan more when he does a role where he's just an everyday guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's good in roles where he just plays an everyday guy.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely hate him in movies like Badshah Ho or Shive.
Oh, please tell me, what's that, Golmaal?
Yeah. Even, I mean, I don't want to talk about Golmaal. I want to pretend like Golmaal doesn't exist in this universe. But I prefer him in dramatic movies like that, where he just plays a guy. He plays an everyday person who's just kind of going through, you know, whatever the conflict is. The last time he did this was in 2015 with Drisham, which I think is one of the more underrated movies of that year and in the Ajay Devgan filmography, because that movie is brilliant. I encourage anyone to go ahead and check that out, seek that out and find it.
And I encourage anyone to watch the original, which is a Malayalam movie starring Mohanlal.
Yes, there's probably 100 of those. This was like the Hindi version is like the 7th version of that movie. But I prefer him in those roles. And to me, Raid is like a return to that sort of a performance for him. There's nothing in the trailer that I can pick out as being cheesy, over the top. The interesting thing too is I find that from the trailer, you get a sense that the movie takes place, the entire story of the movie takes place during one incident. He goes into a political official's house, played by Saurabh Shukla, and he's doing a raid on his property to find all his corrupt assets and money and all this other stuff. And because you keep coming back to those scenes of him in his house. And the whole, it seems like almost like a bottle episode of television where he's like, we're not leaving this house. You can't leave. I'm not leaving until we find your corrupt assets and all your, you know, illegal things. So it does seem like a bottle episode where they're just in that house looking for stuff, and they're not going anywhere. And I think in between that is when you'll get maybe like a beginning of how we got here and a middle of flashbacks of his character, maybe his love story with Ileana de Cruz, because Bollywood has to have a love story in every kind of movie. And so I think the narrative is going to follow something like that. I love that this is the director of No One Killed Jessica. That movie was a great movie. I really enjoyed it. It's cool to see him back and tackling a sort of similar subject matter. I wouldn't say I'm super excited for this movie. I'm excited for it on behalf of Ajay Devgan.
And the director as well.
And the director. I hope it does well. I hope we don't... I mean, while I do hope we get on Netflix soon, I don't want it to be too soon, because that means the movie sucked. It's interesting.
Yeah, and going back to the lack of cheesy dialogues, so that's why I said that the dialogues sounded really good. They were like whistle-worthy and clap-worthy.
Some people will like them in theaters.
Yes, was your quote. Yes, because they will. I'm telling you, they're going to clap when they hear stuff.
I'm marketing this episode on Twitter with that quote. Raid, some people will like the dialogues in theaters, maybe.
And clap. No, you forgot the clapping part.
So let's move on to another movie, which, I mean, again, looks interesting. I don't know how much I'm going to run out of theaters. I don't even know if theaters in North America will have a lot of screens of this. But I'm talking about Das Dev, which comes out March 23rd. The movie stars Rahul Bhatt, who can be remembered as the father from Ugly, Anurag Kashyap's movie, as well as Aditya Rao Haidari and Richard Chadda, as well as Vineet Kumar Singh. Again, he can be remembered from movies like Mukkabaz, which just came out in January. And also, the acting credits include Anurag Kashyap. I'm not sure if he'll have a cameo, or if it's a friendly, or if it will be a supporting role. The movie is written and directed by critically acclaimed filmmaker Sudhir Mishra. He's the director of movies like Chameli, Calcutta Mail, Hazaro Khwahishe Aisi. I'm not sure if casual audiences are going to be too familiar with Mishra's work, but he is considered a sort of very artsy long form, very sort of critical, dramatic mm-hmm. Director in India. I personally haven't seen a lot of his movies. The ones I've seen, I think, are worth watching.
I've watched Jameli. And I think I've also watched Is Raat Ki Subah Nahi. But that was a long time ago.
Hazara Khwai Shiaz, I watched. It was great. He focuses a lot more on sort of like long form, like mm-hmm. sort of epic movies, like sort of like, you know, here's the life and times of kind of a thing. Jameli, I thought, was really good. One of his, I think, smaller scale films. Calcutta Mail, I really enjoyed as well. But, I mean, he's a very sort of serious filmmaker. His movies mm-hmm. are very sort of thought-provoking, and they're all a lot of them are commentaries on, you know, the state of events of the world and or, you know, the day.
Common man, yeah.
Right. So the interesting part about Das Dev, if you haven't glimpsed from the title, the film is a modern-day contemporary remake. Well, that was redundant. Contemporary remake of Devdas, the literary classic, in which Rahul Bhatt's character does play, you know, the title of the character of Devdas. Aditi Rao Haidari is playing Chandramukhi, while Richa Chadda is playing the character of Paro. The trailer, to me, was, again, not as interesting as what the movie's about. Shruti, mm-hmm. did you find sort of the same thing?
Yeah, I did, but I just, the way I'd condense an entire trailer is this is sort of like a political twist / background given to Devdas. So instead of Devdas just being heartbroken, drinking himself to death, he actually has addiction problems and he's in politics. So it's a good mix of drugs, sex, and politics and a throwback to Devdas. That's about it. And lots of power plays.
Yeah.
Lots of interesting political power plays throughout the course of the trailer, which could justify a certain end that I think we all know. That's just saying.
I watched this trailer, mm-hmm. and I don't, except for the times when you have the text scrolling on the screen that says, you know, Chandra Chandani or mm-hmm. and Paro. Besides that, I don't get any sense from the trailer that this, I feel like this is a very loose adaptation of Devdas, because mm-hmm. you watch the movie, there's certain scenes that you can definitely pick out as part of the Devdas sort of mythos. But there's a lot of parts where you're like, what is happening? He's running for office. There's all these girls. There's all this sort of like, you know, like gangster fighting scenes where he's being chased and beat up, and you're kind of like,
gunfire happens randomly.
And I'm trying to put them in the context of the story that we know. And mm-hmm. it's really hard to fit them. And again, I'm sure the movie might do a great job of putting them in that context and a totally different take on the Devdas story, and maybe flesh it out a bit more, give Dave something to do other than just, you know, lazing about crying, Borrow. Yeah, I mean, it's honestly, like, the description of this movie is a lot more interesting than the trailer. I could probably sell this movie to someone by telling them what it's about. Mm-hmm. Without having to watch the trailer, like I could just tell them, "Hey, it's Devdas, but in a political setting with, you know, with guns and violence, and there's other stuff going on, but also Devdas stuff going on." So, but yeah, I think the most interesting part of this trailer, or even this casting, is the casting of the two actresses, right? Like,
yes,
Richa Chadda and Aditi Rao Haidari.
Yes.
Amazing actresses. I love them both, but their roles, I find, are flipped from what you would expect each of these actresses to do, right? Mm-hmm. Because usually Richa Chadda plays the sort of independent, strong-willed, sexy siren type. Mm-hmm. So I would think she would be Chandramukhi, whereas Aditi Rao Haidari is more of the cutesy girl next door, very sort of, you know, timid.
Or Paro.
Right, and I would think she would be Paro. But the fact that it switched, to me, is the most interesting thing, that Aditi Rao Haidari plays Chandramukhi, who is supposed to be, you know, a Kotewali or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I think
maybe there's more to Baro's character than just from that trailer. There was a scene towards the end. It had me quirking my eyebrows. I was like, wait, what's going on? I don't understand what's going on. So I think it's a lot more politically
motivated.
Yeah,
it looks like it. Well, I mean, at least that's what they're trying to do. Let's see how successful they are. Let's move on to another movie, which we did cover last month, but it got cut from the episode because the movie date changed, as per usual. We're obviously talking about Hitchkey, which stars Rani Mukherjee in the lead role, written by Ankur Chaudhary, who hasn't done anything of note, really, and directed by Siddharth Malhotra, who's the director of We Are Family. The movie is produced by Yash Raj. It is being touted as Rani's comeback, even though she doesn't really go anywhere. She just kind of takes a break every couple of years and comes back with a different movie. The story features a woman suffering from Tourette's syndrome, which causes her to have verbal and visual tics in her mannerism, who wants to be a teacher, but again, because of her sort of illness, no one wants to give her an opportunity. However, there is an opportunity teaching a class of kids that came into a private school due to a government quota. So these are kids from the underprivileged section of the town. They're not, you know, they can't afford the education. Therefore, they are being granted grants by the government. You know, it's the team of misfits, essentially. It's the class of misfits and, you know, people, outcasts that are assigned to this teacher who is also an outcast herself, and how she has to overcome these issues in this school with these kids and get through to them while dealing with her own issues as well is basically what this movie is about. Shruti, trailer for Hitchkey. How excited are you for this movie?
So I think in our last podcast, I was brimming with enthusiasm and I couldn't stop talking. I had a severe case of verbal diarrhea.
Unfortunately, it got cut.
Yes, yes. I am extremely excited, mostly because I have... So I love the teaching profession. My mom used to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. And there is one line in this trailer that made the difference. Like, the moment I heard that line, I was like, I'm watching this. I told my mom, listen, you know, February 23rd, we're going to go watch this movie. Actually, I got my mom to watch the trailer because of that line.
Nice.
And, well, I got moved to March 23rd. So there's this line where, you know, one of the teachers in the school... is trying to put down the students and say, oh, you know, these are bad students, and he's talking about the set of students, the underprivileged students who joined the school. And Rani Mukherjee's character turns around and looks at him and says, there are no bad students, only bad teachers. See, one of my mom's biggest mantras as a teacher was that there are no weak students. There is no concept of a weak student. Students are, what is the word? What are the words I'm looking for? Students are budding minds. They have their strengths. You know, it's a human thing. You have your strengths and weaknesses. There are no weak students because everyone is there to learn. You just have to hone in on what they're strong in and help them develop the rest of themselves. That's what teachers are supposed to do. So when I was in school, we had a lot of teachers who used to segregate us on the basis of, oh, these are super smart students because they're always first in class, and these are the weak and dumb students because they're always last in class. My mom and I, we hated that concept because, you know, they isolated the students. You know, they let some of them feel entitled, and they let some of them, you know, they let their sense of self-esteem degrade. And that's the worst thing you could do to a child, because if school is your second home and you're not getting any sort of inspiration from there, then what can you expect from the rest of the world, sort of thing.
Right.
So, I mean, I know I've severely digressed, but I'm extremely excited for this movie. I mostly because they're also focusing on something very salient, on Tourette's, which you mentioned is a neurodevelopmental disorder where a patient tends to have vocal and motor tics. Sometimes some people also tend to swear. It's just part of the tic routine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, given...
I think that depiction is the most mined and represented in films and TV, because it's funny. Mm-hmm. Like, someone that just uncontrollably swears is kind of like the punchline of a lot of jokes, right?
Yes. And, you know, while that has been used as comic relief, people haven't paid attention to the actual issue where, you know, there are people who are living with this and their job isn't to be your comic relief in life, but they can actually lead normal lives. And anything different... I speak from experience with the South Asian community. You know, I don't mean to sound all sorts of offensive, but, you know, especially in the South Asian community, anything different is viewed in a negative light for most part. It's like, yeah. Oh, you're not normal.
Right.
So if you're not normal, you can't live a normal life. You need extra attention. You need extra this. You are not, you cannot get this, that, and the other thing. So, you know, this struggle for Rani Mukherjee someone with Tourette's, you know, her character having someone Tourette's trying to do something that, say, you or I want to do, you know, go and teach, right. But you have a whole bunch of other people saying, no, you can't do it because you have challenges, and because you're disabled, you can't teach. Yeah. The thing is, it's not a disability. It's, they've lived with it. It's a part of who they are. So I'm very excited to see that, because I think it's about darn time that Bollywood actually had movies like that where they were picking up on these things and telling people it doesn't matter, it's okay, you're different, you're not, well, you may have something that isn't the same as, you know, your next door neighbor, but that's okay, that's cool.
So
it's also like an underdog movie, so I'm very, 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 very excited about it, if you couldn't tell from my gushing already.
you're 100% right that I love that, and that we're getting that also again. And this isn't a sort of, you know, small movie that we're trying to highlight, an independent movie that we're trying to highlight that's dealing with these issues, right? It's a mainstream Yash Raj Films produced, Rani Mukherjee starring project, right? So that mm-hmm. is awesome. That makes it even more that you're going to get eyeballs on this. People will go watch this. People will use this as references of, oh no, look, remember Rani Mukherjee's character?
Yeah, and you know, especially given that Rani Mukherjee did such a super fantabulous job in Black.
Yes,
I don't think there's anyone who could do what she did in Black. So I think this just improves her versatility as an actress.
I remember when this trailer started, I had a sort of very sort of negative sort of opinion of this trailer, because as soon as it started, you kind of take us to this, you know, not comedic or not exploitative, sort of not montage, just a quick cut of, oh, this is the girl and this is the thing she does, which is, isn't that weird, isn't that quirky, you know, she has this verbal tic that she just kind of does all these noises, and I was really annoyed, because I'm like, oh my god, this is gonna be so stupid, they're gonna use this for comedic purposes, Rani Mukherjee is gonna look so dumb doing this, like, I was kind of like really annoyed. But the best part, and again, and if the movie's handled with the same sort of storytelling arc, then I'm already gonna love this movie, because in that 2-something minute trailer, you take me to the first 30 seconds of irritation and derision. By the end of it, I was invested in this person's journey. I really felt bad for the fact that she has to deal with this challenge in her life, as well as trying to function and do everyday things. There's a scene we talked about earlier. There is a scene where you see her in tears and trying to control the physical and facial tics that she has, and she's in tears, and I'm sure that scene, you know, precedes something horrible that happened, and that I was just like, oh, why? So I mean, again, and if a trailer can do that to me, then I'm sure the movie's gonna have a lot more emotional of an impact. More so than anything else, though, I know you're into this movie because of the representation, because of the fact that it deals with all this, you know, challenge and I am a sucker for this sort of
underdog
educational sports sort of movies where a group of misfits is combined with someone trying to do the right thing, the inner city school kids being taught that there's more to life than what their background is and their family life is. Freedom Riders, Coach Carter. I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. And I love Jatte to a lesser extent, because it's still pretty Bollywood. I like the formula of, you know, kids that have nothing in life, who don't think education is important because they come from backgrounds there where they're dealing with a lot more, you know, inner city kids, gang violence, and stuff like that. And again, I'm talking about Hollywood movies so far. I like that those stories where they come into a school and there's an idealistic teacher, you know, who has to teach them the meaning of life and how learning what happens in the classroom relates to a better life in the future and overcome your obstacles and stuff like that. I love that. And I love that even more that we're getting a Bollywood movie like that. And I'm dying to get to know these kids. I'm dying to get to know their conflicts and their challenges. And yeah, I'm really excited for this movie. It comes out March 23rd, if that was mentioned before. But let's end this show with a bang. Literally, multiple explosions of awesomeness.
Crack bang pop.
Yes. So the last movie of March 2018 is Baghi 2, the sequel to Baghi 1, which I haven't seen, so I can't speak for how much of a sequel this is, or if this is just a thematic, you know, remember that one movie you liked? Here's the same movie with two beside it, but different, everything different.
Well, apparently there's an announcement for Baghi 3 by the same director for Baghi 2.
So before we can even talk about Baghi 2, and before the movie's even been released, they've announced a third version of this movie, which, again, I don't know if there's going to be a sequel. I don't know if it's going to be a sequel of sequential events, or if it's going to be a sort of thematic sequel. But also, it's weird. Okay, well, let's talk about this. So, anyways, the movie stars are, you know, the best actor in Bollywood in the last 50 years, Tiger Shroff. Also starring Disha Patani, Manoj Bajpai, and the only reason that I am now looking forward to and will watch this movie, Mr. Randeep Hooda is also in this movie.
So is Pratik Babbar.
Yes, Pratik Babbar's also in this movie, and he looks awesome. Sorry, I left that out of the show notes, but yes, we'll get into that. The movie's directed by choreographer Ahmed Khan, who, by the way, was one of the kids in Mr. India, as I was watching yesterday. He's uncredited in the movie, but he is one of the dancing kids. There's three dancing kids in the movie, three boys who are dancing. The smallest one is Ahmed Khan. That little kid grew up to be one of Bollywood's most influential choreographers, and now he's directing Baghi 2. The only movie of Tiger Shroff's I've watched is A Flying Jutt. Loved it. None of his other more serious, dramatic action hero movies look interesting enough to me. I'm not going to watch Hero Panti. Baghi, I could care less about, but I am sold on Baghi 2. Based on this trailer, I am sold on Baghi 2. I have no idea what the story is. Someone gets kidnapped. He has to do something and save someone. He got a new haircut, which is great.
And then there's a lot of body exposure where they keep beating him with a stick.
Well, it's because they got to show the ripple of his muscles upon impact. Shruti, come on. Come on. That's just understood. I don't even know why you're talking about it. Shruti, what do you think of the Baghi 2 trailer?
Cinematographer. If I had to talk in terms of cinematography, it's great. In terms of action, so much dishu.
cinematography.
But I do like the Rambo homage that's in the trailer. Okay.
So you got that, right? I mean, this trailer is full of Tiger Shroff. He's got a crew cut, very military. They talk about the fact that he's from the military.
He's a one-man army.
Yes, that phrase is thrown around as often as he is shirtless. So you can understand how often that is.
And as often as he punches and flies and does those flying kicks and stuff like that.
So here's my really crazy confusion after watching this trailer. Like, there is so many scenes of military action-style fight sequences. There's a scene where he does look like he's in some sort of jungle prison camp sort of a locale, and he's got rifles and guns, and there's a scene where he's actually shooting one of the Terminator 2 thing, the mm-hmm. automatic gun, I don't know what you call it, but that big the massive big cycling thing.
Yeah.
And I'm watching this, and I'm like, because the reason I'm confused is Tiger Shroff has also been tapped for the Rambo remake, the Bollywood version of Rambo. There's a poster out where he's got the Rambo hair, he's got the little bandana. And I'm watching Baghi 2, and I'm like, I don't understand what they're going to do in the Rambo remake when Baghi 2 looks like a Rambo remake already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in addition, I was watching the action sequences, and one of the action sequences actually reminded me of Ip Man.
Oh, I haven't seen those movies yet.
Oh, Ip Man's awesome.
They're on my Netflix queue, but I haven't watched them yet.
Yes. I think I only have Ip Man 3 left to watch.
I wouldn't put it past them to rip off.
Yeah, because there's this one very particular sequence of punches that is exactly like Ip Man, like an action sequence from Ip Man.
Let's really get to what we want to talk about. Okay, how awesome does Randeep Hooda look in this trailer? Like, oh my god.
Hey man, I like the dialogue with the selfie.
So, I mean, honestly speaking, like, I don't... What sold me on this really is the supporting actors in this movie.
Yeah.
Manoj Bajpai, as usual, looks amazing. Pratik Babbar. So Pratik Babbar is Raj Babbar's...
Son.
Yes. His youngest, right? I think... What did he do? He was in Arakshan.
He was in Jaane Tu Ya Jaane Na.
That's right. And he was in... I think he was in Dhobi Ghat. He was in Arakshan. He was in Dham Mar Dham.
What was the other one? That was like a love story,
My Friend Pinto,
too.
He was in... he hasn't done a lot of big things, but he's done enough movies for me to remember that, oh yeah, this kid was in these movies. Mm-hmm. He looks interesting in this one. He has a totally different look. I think he's playing one of the side villains, maybe, it seems like. He looks interesting enough that I would definitely check this out. But yeah, all the supporting actors of this movie looks good. Randeep Hooda looks ridiculously awesome. For anyone wondering why he looks like that, though, he is doing a movie where he's playing like the Sikh, historical Sikh figure from Indian history, which is why he has the crazy beard and the really long hair. That's Randeep Hooda, by the way. That's not a wig. That's not makeup. Randeep Hooda legit looks like that now because of this movie he's shooting for. So that is his real life beard braided into like a knot or whatever. I don't know if I'm gonna watch this in theaters. Like, I'll probably.
Get on Netflix. I think it's something my dad and I might watch. Just mind this action. Like, it starts with the purpose. There's a kid missing. Actually, even that purpose is a little confusing because it starts with this whole sequence, and then they're like, "I need your help finding."
There's a scene where he's in a tub, and water's trickling down his leg, and I'm like, "Did he pee himself?" Like, I don't understand why.
Then he jumps out of the tub.
Unless
that's like supposed to be an homage to the poster of Boggy.
Sure, I don't.
I don't know. But there are a lot of broken
bones. I love how excited I am for all the action and the craziness. And you're just like, yeah, it's sure, whatever. Are we done?
Well, the end of the trailer had me, you know, clenching my teeth quite a bit because of all the bones that got fractured in the process.
Oh, yeah.
It's a crunch, crunch, crunch. I'm like,
oh, yeah, that was good. That was a very horrible way to end. Yeah, I mean, I'm impressed with how much Bollywood action movies are progressing. Like, they're getting better and better looking. Tiger Zinda Hai, I thought was... I haven't seen it yet, but the trailer made the action look really... Like, my measure of Bollywood action movies is based on how many eye rolls I do during the trailers, or even the movies
themselves. Is that what you do when you watch Singham?
Yes. Yeah. So I get migraines during Singham because of how many times my eyes roll around in the back of my head. So that, to me, is the measure of, like, Bollywood action movies. Boggy 2 looked decent enough that I'm like, yeah, I could watch this. Like, I could watch this and not be angry at how terrible it is. And even Tiger Shroff, like, again, I don't want to seem like a Tiger Shroff defender. Like I said, I've only seen A Flying Judd. I haven't seen his dramatic roles. I love A Flying Judd because he was very self-deprecating. He got himself in this niche of making fun of himself, which I'm all for. Hey, the big, muscly, pretty boy who gets made fun of throughout the entire movie? Yes, that's awesome. Like, and that brings... Everyone that hates Tiger Shroff for whatever reason, or for all his crazy, stupid movies, you gotta watch The Flying Judd, because the majority of the movie is his character being made fun of. Almost the entire movie, which is amazing. I like that he does that. Again, we talked about earlier that I love self-deprecating humor, when a star will do self-deprecating humor, and I love that he's doing that. And I don't know how much I'm gonna like Boggy, because he does seem like it's very serious. He did get a different haircut, which, great, it makes him look more...
He does growl a lot, too, in this trailer, so...
And there's that scene where he's, like, crying for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, there's that, too.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I like that he's changing his image, even if that means being as lazy as getting a haircut, which, sure, hey, character development. But yeah, so, that was all the movies that are coming out in March 2018. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. Like I said, the dates may be changing, so before you go watch any of these in theaters, definitely check with your local listings, depending on what country and what region you're in. Shruti, thank you so much for taking the time. I know it was a hard day to be doing this, based on everything that happened yesterday, so I really appreciate you soldiering on and continuing to kind of want to be a part of this episode. Let people know where they can get a hold of you and kind of, you know, hear your other musings on life and everything else.
Well, thank you, Shah, so much for having me on here a second time. It's so much fun doing this stuff. But today, yeah, given the somber mood we're all in, I'm glad we actually did this episode because, you know, I don't think there's a better way to pay homage and celebrate someone as prolific as Sridevi. I don't think there's anything more appropriate than talking about how she influenced all of us. I think that's the best way to celebrate a legend. So thank you so much for having me, and thank you guys for putting up with my comments and opinions, especially dialogue-worthy, you know, dialogue-worthy movies. It's a pleasure. Hopefully I can come back and talk.
No, this was it. This was the only one you had in your contract, so no more.
Dang it.
Let people know where they can get a hold of you on social media and stuff.
You know, feel free to hit me up on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Blue Phoenix. If anything, Shaw would probably retweet me on there. So feel free to
get in the show notes as well. So yeah, no worries.
Yeah, and you can also get me on Facebook. I have a page, Thought Factory. I write a lot of poetry, so there's a lot of that. Sometimes I do write movie reviews, so feel free to share your opinions on there. I'd love to hear from all of you.
Perfect. Well, Shuzi, once again, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm just kidding. You'll definitely be back, obviously.
Yes!
We'll work out a new contract. thank you, everyone else, for listening and being a part of this as well. Please share your thoughts. I mean, if you have stories about Shuzi, we definitely, I'd like to hear them. I've heard a lot of the people that I follow. I've heard a lot of their stories on Twitter, everyone. It's. I feel like the next week or so, I'm not on a time limit.
For the next little bit, at least.
Yeah, for the next little while, I feel like we are going to be kind of immersed in everything that Shuzi was. I did buy a lot of tissues because I'm planning on, against better judgment, going through like a Shuzi marathon, during which I will be bawling my eyes off.
Kudagawa is on Netflix.
It is, yes, that is my.
So that's something
third
I
movie.
Do plan
I'm
on
be
watching.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the other funny thing: when Rukki Raja,
yes,
yeah, Todoroki Rani came out, it came out with 3 video cassettes.
Oh.
I remember this because we went to rent it from the video store, and it came with 3 video cassettes. The only other movie that came with those video cassettes was Hum Aapke Hain Kaun.
Nice.
I remember all these distinctly weird things.
So I'm gonna definitely get in touch with us, and again, if you want to share your stories about Shuzi as well, we'd love to hear them. And once again, thank you everyone for listening. Please subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Google Play Music, or any other preferred podcasting app. For links to all the trailers, Shruti's Twitter, and just her Facebook page, and all the other things that we discussed today, for the proper show notes, they're all in there. Definitely visit the Audio Boom page of this website, where it's going to be all listed there. You can watch all the trailers that we talked about and follow along. If you have any trouble listening to the episode from mobile or any other device, visit my website on blankpagebedone.com to listen directly on your web browser on your computer. If you like what you heard today, please leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the show, helps me feel better about myself for doing the show. Follow the podcast.
And helps me come back for more.
This is all on you guys. If you don't rate us, review us, Shruti's never coming back.
It's in my contract, you guys.
Follow the podcast on Twitter at splitscreen_pod. Follow me personally on Twitter at TheShawShahid. And that's the best place to engage me in any sort of discussion or anything else. And if anything else, if you need anything else, definitely get in touch with me directly. You can also email me if you want to be a guest on the show. My email address is shah@blankpagebeatdown.com. Once again, thank you everyone for listening. I hope everyone have a great week, and we'll be back next time.